It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Well, it's been quite a week. In a rare moment of solidarity, the Democrat and Republican serving on the House Committee of Oversight, both across the aisle, called for the resignation of Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle. At first, she was adamant that she wasn't going to step down. Day after day went by, she wasn't going to step down. Why not? Well, for one thing, she knew Biden never fired anybody, and she got that job because she was friends with his wife, Jill. So what was she worried about? And she probably as well assumed that the Democrats on the committee would rush to her defense during the hearings and was very surprised when they didn't. Of course, there was some predictable posturing from the Democrats. We heard about gun control. Tell us, Ms. Cheadle, with these assault guns off the market, do you think the Secret Service would be able to do their job more easily?
Well, sure.
I'm telling you, even Charlie Brown could hit a softball like that. And naturally, no surprises, Democrats had to go out of their way to condemn January 6th again. We condemn all violence, such as what happened on January 6th. Oh, but the topper of them all came from a different committee, the House Judiciary Committee, Jerry Nadler. Nadler naturally condemns the violence, but in a way, Trump and his associates are responsible because of their rhetoric. And he brings up again, and this is something that Biden has brought up many times, Trump's comment about how there will be a bloodbath if he doesn't win the election. Now, in context, Trump was talking about the auto industry, whose workers are not doing very well under the Biden administration, and he meant bloodbath in an economic way, in a symbolic way. Everybody knows that, or let me put it this way. If Nadler knows that, if he understands the context, and as a politician, he's responsible to understand the context, if he knows that, then he's lying. If he doesn't know that, he's too stupid to be in office. Either way, it does not acquit him well. But this story about the assassination attempt and the investigation, it's not going away anywhere soon. Every time one fact is uncovered, it raises five or six questions. There's all kinds of loose ends. And there was quite a contradiction. Remember, right away, in the aftermath of this, the Trump campaign claimed that with event after event, they had asked for extra protection from the Secret Service because Trump gets so many people at his rallies, and the extra protection was turned down. That was first denied. But later on, they came back and said, well, yeah, because there are a lot of events we did have to deny service. So they've already been caught in a lie. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And what I love now, you got to love this. The Secret Service tells Trump that he should stop campaigning outdoors. Great! Yeah, fantastic idea. Let's shrink down the amount of people that you could bring to one of your rallies. All because the Secret Service was too incompetent to put a man on a roof within obvious gunshot. No, this isn't about election interference at all, is it? We don't have a weaponized Justice Department at all, do we? In any event, the news goes on because Cheadle isn't the only one stepping down. So has Joe Biden. No, he has not stepped down from being president, but from running for re-election. You see, now follow the logic. Democrat politician after Democrat politician after liberal pundit called for Biden to take himself out of the race following that disastrous debate with Donald Trump. But did you notice they weren't calling him to step down as president now? He's not qualified to run a campaign, but he is qualified to be our president for the next 6 months. Remember, the election is early in November, and it's almost till the end of January that he continues being president. Actually, Joe himself thought he was doing a crackerjack job After the debate, Joe went on one interview after another, gave speech after speech, convincing us he's still running. He hasn't lost it. And then, all of a sudden, overnight, he gets a revelation. Now it's about putting personal ambition aside. Now it's about passing the torch to a younger generation. Sure, now I'll tell one. Let me tell you what really happened. Pelosi or Schumer or maybe a few others sat him down and said, now you just sit down and shut up and we'll tell you what you're going to do. They probably threatened him with the 25th Amendment. So you could go out as a hero or you could go out in disgrace. Now, speaking of the 25th Amendment, if they didn't really intend to use it, but only threatened to use it, just as a device to get him to drop out of the election, that is illegal and despicable. Don't get me wrong. He qualifies as somebody who should be removed under this amendment. I'm not saying Harris would be any better. My point is they didn't really care. The same people that were calling for him to get out of the election were not calling him to step down immediately as president. They don't mind a Pinocchio president as long as they can continue pulling his strings, and they would have been happy to pull his strings for the next 4 years. Unfortunately, after the debate with Donald Trump, the jig was up, so they had to get him out of the race. But the very fact that they were more concerned about him stepping out of the race than stepping down immediately as president shows that they don't really care about the security of the country. All they care about is staying in power. But in his speech, Joe was a little bit ambiguous about why he didn't think he could win the election, tried to make it look like, again, he thought it's time for a younger generation to step in, something he hadn't been saying in the weeks leading up to that. In fact, it was the opposite of that. But he did use that tired line that he's doing this to save democracy. You see, if Trump wins, we'll lose democracy. Democrats are the party of democracy. They are the party of choice. Of course, you're not allowed to choose what to drive, not if it's going to be a gas-run vehicle. You're not allowed to choose what to eat. They want you to stop eating meat. You're not allowed to choose what appliance you cook on, not if it's going to use up too much energy. They don't want you to have air conditioning. They're starting to tell you you shouldn't own pets, all for the sake of fighting global warming. But it goes beyond the Green New Deal. They want to tell you where your kids can go to school. They sure don't believe in school choice, the party of choice. The only choice they want you to have is abortion. They don't care about any other choice. And speaking of the public schools, they just passed a law in California that if a little kid decides he wants to transition and the parents speak against it, the child can be removed from the parents' home. The state can raise your child. This in the name of saving democracy. And in the name of saving democracy, they tried to get their political opponent off the ballot. And in the name of saving democracy, they tried to put their political opponent in jail. And in the name of saving democracy, they compromised his security, which led to him being shot and almost killed. This is the party that's saving democracy. And who will save it better than Kamala? Kamala is trying to rebrand herself as a prosecutor. Yeah, technically, she was a prosecutor, a horrible prosecutor. She was also a horrible vice president. Ask anybody who's quit her staff. She's had more turnover than we can count. But even though she tries to present herself as being tough on crime, this is a woman who has called openly for defunding the police. This was a woman who bailed out some of the protesters, the violent protesters, during the Summer of Love. This is somebody who has called for health care for illegal immigrants and open borders. How does that work? Universal health care, the closing down of all private health care, and meanwhile, every illegal immigrant's going to get health care, and the borders are going to be open for them. She criticized ICE. She compared them to the Ku Klux Klan. But who's going to look at her record? We have been instructed to look at nothing but her skin color. Joy Reid gave a comment talking to her fellow African Americans about how if they don't get on board and support a black woman running for president, they're going to look awfully bad. I cannot imagine a more racist comment than telling people who they darn well better vote for based on the color of their skin. Can you just imagine somebody saying that to white people? You better vote for this candidate because you're white and he's white. How do they get away with this stuff? Of course, if you want a sneak preview of how she will govern, if you want a sneak preview of Kamala in Kamalot, you have but to look no farther than the visit of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. When he arrived and stepped off his plane, the president was not there to meet him. The vice president was not there to meet him. The secretary of state was not there to meet him. A few diplomats were there to meet him. Biden postponed his meeting with him, which he eventually had. Harris postponed her meeting with him, which she eventually had. But he did address Congress. And when a guest speaker speaks before Congress, the vice president, who's head of the Senate, is supposed to be in the room. She wasn't there. She wasn't there because while this was going on, there were protests going on. People who are showing solidarity with Hamas in the wake of all that's been going on at our universities since the barbaric attack from Hamas on Israel back in October of last year. And now the narrative is that Israel is the aggressor. And they're worried about voters in Dearborn, Michigan, and the whole state of Michigan. They're worried about getting the votes of these protesters. Of course, there are a lot of Jewish people that are still in the Democratic Party, and they're worried about their votes, too. So they try to play it both ways. But what a snub to Netanyahu. And eventually, Kamala did meet with him, and eventually she condemned the violence. But she has spoken out on behalf of these people that are committing the violence in the past. She gave this idiotic, wishy-washy, predictable, equivalent statement about condemning anti-Semitism, but also condemning Islamophobia. Let me tell you something. There is no such thing as Islamophobia, not the way it's being defined. It is defined as an irrational dislike of Islam. Well, the dislike of Islam is not irrational. The dislike of Islam, which comes from educated people who have studied Islam, is that Islam calls for violence. Now, I've said this many times. I know there are a lot of peaceful Muslims who don't believe in jihad, but they're either ignoring or reinterpreting or not reading their own scriptures because the Quran commands it. I know it's not politically correct to say that, but I'm not saying it. The Quran said it. Muhammad said it. And Muhammad did it. Muhammad came into power by force. How do you think he conquered the Arabian Peninsula? Oh, and what were these peaceful protests doing? Well, first of all, they broke into the Cannon House office building. That's part of the Capitol. Remember when somebody broke in on January 6th? That was a real problem. That was the most existential threat to democracy since the Civil War, according to Biden and his cohorts. That isn't all they did. They burnt American flags and then raised the Hamas flag in its place. Hamas, an organization that has called not only for the death of Israel, but America, funded by Iran, who calls for the death of Israel and America. Isn't that treason? Isn't that an assault on our democracy? And some of the people that were involved in the protest were gay people. Gay people for Hamas. Have they studied how Hamas treats gay people? Have they studied countries under Muslim control, many of which execute gay people? Netanyahu said it perfectly. To Iran, these people are useful idiots. But Kamala wasn't around to hear that in the speech. But they're burning flags, desecrating statues, doing that on federal property. Do you think we'll see a Liz Cheney-style chaired hearing for this? Don't hold your breath. I'm no doctor, but I do know what it means to breathe. So here's my advice as a layperson. Don't hold your breath. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook or questions at bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Good afternoon, Bob. How are you doing today?
Doing all right.
All right. Well, first off, it is hot as of late this week. I mean, it was over 100 degrees where I was at in Santee, California. Man, oh man, that is just a scorcher. So
it really has been. And yeah. God bless air conditioning, and God bless those Democrats for wanting to take air conditioning away from us.
Right, right.
For the sake of the Green New Deal.
You may only run it between the times when you're sleeping, and then make sure you wake up at like 4 a.m, or else we'll triple charge your electric bill every time, yeah, because we need to only have it during those times. That's it.
Yeah. Anything else? Thank you for allowing us to live it all.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because there is a really, really bad fire going on.
They're all over California.
Yeah. But
mostly northern, but there's some in the Los Angeles area.
True, true. And there was one, I think, that was up in Temecula that was pretty bad.
Now, I heard that one of them started because somebody's vehicle caught on fire and he was rolling it down a hill or something.
That was the one that was going towards Las Vegas.
Now, I assume that was something he didn't intend.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
And he had a lithium.
But I heard there was another one that was deliberate arson also. There's been several.
This one I'm about to talk about is deliberate arson. This is the wildfire that's up near Red Bluff, and it's burned 350,000 acres, and it's currently only 12% contained right now. So far, they have 26,000 firefighters fighting the flames right now up there. Just announced by Governor Greg Abbott, he's sending over 100 firefighters and 25 fire engines to help with this wildfire. So even with the differences that Governor Greg Abbott has with Governor Newsom, which are insurmountable, he still cares about the country of America specifically.
I wonder how many people who left California and migrated to Texas work for the Texas Fire Department and are coming back to put out our fires.
It's very, very possible, for sure. I never thought of that, too. It's reported that the smoke from this fire, I don't know if this is true, but this is what the reports are saying. The smoke has traveled as far north as Canada and as far east all the way to South Carolina and New England.
Have the pundits come out and blamed it on global warming again?
Actually,
it's time to do something about this, Republicans! We are getting outraged.
You were absolutely right, actually. Yes.
That was an easy one. Yeah. That wasn't a hard one to predict.
Yeah. So the police force did mention that this was caused by arson, and they found the man and they have arrested the gentleman.
Arson, nothing. It was global warming.
Yeah,
Come on.
There's another fire that they're having to fight at the same time in southern Oregon. It's the city called Durkee, and it has 288,000 acres. It's 49% contained. That fire was caused by a lightning strike, although people will still say, no, it's global warming.
Well,
because of the dry conditions.
We didn't have any lightning before global warming came along.
That's what I was
thinking. We didn't have thunder. We didn't have volcanoes. We didn't have hurricanes. We didn't have any of that stuff.
I want to personally apologize to nature for causing lightning and thunders in my case. So I'm so sorry.
Maybe we're all just too stupid to be living in this planet. Maybe we should give up all these things.
Possibly. Right now, it is currently the 7th largest acreage of flames burnt in U.S. recorded history. But they do state that the fires, because it's only 12% contained, the wildfire up in Red Bluff, they have to let it burn for several more weeks. So therefore, they're thinking thinking that it might surpass and go to number one, unfortunately, due to these flames. Currently, the number one is about over 1 million acres burnt. So I can't imagine.
All these poor people that have lost their homes.
Exactly.
How many have they recorded lives lost yet?
No lives lost, but in terms of buildings, we're at the scary number, 666. But I get kind of icky on that number, let me tell you.
Just something about that number that seems to ring a bell.
I know. I don't know if I mentioned this to you. There was a 90s film starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it had Halle Berry too. And they said, oh, no, no, no. And when the person said 666, they didn't realize it was upside down. So it's actually 999.
It's not 666, it's 999.
So obviously our prayers go out to everyone up there. It is just a devastating fire. I'm seeing all the videos and everything. It's really, really bad. So please stay safe. And they've already evacuated the whole area. So I hope to hear no casualties.
Yeah, let's hope and pray so. Yeah.
Didn't you have some family relative that lives in Northern California area?
San Jose area.
San Jose. Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Gotcha.
Yeah, we're much norther than
yeah,
that.
Red Bluff is more towards like, I think above Redding, if I remember right. So yeah. I have to look at a geological map again of California. I can't remember these things. Moving on, national news. So Donald Trump's still rallying everywhere. And recently, he has jumped to defend a female Secret Service agent who shielded him from the assassination attempts. This comes off of a few conservative pundits who have attacked that woman, unfortunately. So one of those is Dinesh D'Souza, who wrote on X following the incident, "Watch these female agents who have no clue what to do or what they are doing. The Secret Service has been trying to raise the number of its female recruits to meet its 30% goal. This is DEI." Okay, I think if you are meeting the qualifications of being a Secret Service agent, being able to protect the most important person in our country, there's a reason why. It has nothing to do with a female quota.
Well, like a lot of issues in life, I think that the truth with this one falls somewhere down the middle. Now, okay. Cheadle, the director, she had bragged about the fact that she did want to bring more women into it and higher quotas of women. And if there were any women that were hired because they were women, that was wrong. However, that doesn't mean that in its own right, there aren't women who really are qualified. And in the case of this woman, she was jumping and putting her arms around Trump and putting her life in danger.
She was one of the first ones.
Yeah. So whereas we could criticize the policy, the DEI policy, I don't think this particular woman deserves that. And that's where I think the truth falls, somewhere in the middle.
Right. Let me read a couple more quotes and then I'll go to Trump's quote about the situation. Podcaster Matt Walsh wrote that there shouldn't be any women in Secret Service following the assassination attempt. There should not be any women in the Secret Service. These are supposed to be the very best, and none of the very best at this job are women. Walsh posted on X the morning after the assassination attempt, "If there's a woman doing a job like this, it's 100% means that there are more qualified males that were passed over." That's his exact quote. That just sounds a lot
more. Well, again, this particular director, based on what she said herself, she may have indeed passed over more qualified men. But again, that doesn't mean that there aren't some qualified women that got hired. So I think these people are just getting a little extreme on
this. I think so too. I do have one more to read. And again, I'm agreeing with all of your following statements there. You're saying, like, were there quotas? Possibly. But at the same time, this woman was the first one to jump to action and following through on making sure to protect the president all costs. Elon Musk, the Tesla CEO, who, if you hear me on the radio here, I absolutely despise Tesla, so my eyes just twitched a little bit in anger when I said Tesla.
I'm not fond of electric cars. I do think Elon Musk is somebody that speaks outside the box, though, and you got to give him some points.
I will say that, especially when it comes to X. And
he made X free. He's donating to Trump. He voted for Biden in the last election, so you got to hand it to him for coming around. He's like Leo 2.0. He's always on Hannity.
Right, and I was just going to mention too that while I can't agree with him with the electric car situation as a businessman, I can agree with him. SpaceX, I think, is pretty futuristic and actually pretty ideological idea.
Plus, he's offered some very sensible, grave warnings about artificial intelligence.
Yes, absolutely. And no matter how many times advertisers say, oh, we're getting off of X, Elon has stuck to his guns, I should say, and stick with X.
Which means that Twitter, formerly Twitter, currently X, won't be able to hide anything before this next election.
Exactly.
Like they did with Hunter Biden's laptop.
Exactly. So Elon Musk argued that the Secret Service agents should be large enough to cover the subject. Having a small person as body cover for a large man is like an undersized Speedo at the beach. Doesn't cover the subject. Could be a man or a woman. To be clear, just needs to be large enough to do the job.
I do think there's something to be said for the fact that those who are going to literally jump on him and surround him should be tall. I could give them a point for that. But again, this woman, whatever her size, she jumped in there. She risked her life. We've got to give her credit.
Exactly. And if I can also mention the fact that you're asking for large people, there's a lot more than just shielding the president when it comes to the Secret Service jobs.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of other things that they do.
You need to be athletic. What's the word I'm looking for? It starts with an A, where you can just at a minute of a time, but
yeah,
that's not
agile.
The word. Agile. That's yeah. the word I was thinking.
And also, if I could, they need to listen to people when they say somebody's up on the roof.
Yes. Well, but here's what makes me more crazy about the situation is the whole green light situation. I can't believe we are still doing that these days. The green light, that should have gotten rid of back in, I think it was in the early 80s with that San Ysidro shooting that happened down in McDonald's. The police were surrounding the McDonald's and the guy was continuously killing innocent patrons inside there. And the only reason why they didn't shoot earlier is because they had to wait for their chief to get a green light. And ever since that situation, they got
my understanding was that the Secret Service were authorized to shoot without waiting for orders because there wasn't any time. And again, we have somebody that shot that guy pretty quickly once the word got out, but there were communication breakdowns. There's all kinds of problems with this, but there's so much people can criticize about what happened. Let's not blame the poor woman who put her life on the line and defended Donald Trump.
I agree. So to directly quote Donald Trump super quick, he said, every one of them, there wasn't one that was slow. A woman who was on my right was shielding me. Beautiful person. She was shielding me everything she could. And she got crushed and she got criticized by fake news because she wasn't tall enough. Trump also mentioned that the female agent was so brave and wanted to take a bullet for the 45th president. So again, he's quickly out to defend.
Well, good for him. And since he's the one they shot at, his voice has some credibility.
Agreed. And so hopefully those pundits can go back on their words and say, I apologize for my comments. Possibly it was a spur of the moment. Maybe they were running on emotions, like you said, too. So I,
even if it's someday concluded that they made a mistake by not putting somebody tall enough, we have got to give her credit for putting her life on the line.
Exactly.
That's the bottom line.
Exactly. The main thing, besides the whole security issue, the main part about protecting the president, I thought in terms of shielding that part, Secret Service did what they had to do and follow policy on that situation. Were there other things that happened that could have been avoided? Absolutely. But time will tell, and we will do more research.
The most egregious thing, and this one they finally fessed up to, mm-hmm. and I mentioned this in my monologue, was that there were requests put out in the past about additional agents because Trump gets so many people at his rallies. And first they claimed that they had never denied that request, and then they finally fessed up and said that they did. Even if that's the only thing that's discovered, that's pretty abominable. However, there's all kinds of other questions with this as well.
Exactly, exactly. And again, time will tell, and more reports will come out. But the main thing is now we have to set up new policies to help make sure that not just this doesn't have to be Trump. It could be every single politician. They have to be protected in a certain way and make sure that these kind of situations don't arise because we don't want any more assassinations in our country for sure.
I was just waiting for the left to come out and say it was really Trump's fault.
Yes, exactly.
And it's starting to happen. Yeah. It's starting to happen.
Well, coming up, we have some local news and I also want to talk about some international news too. Apparently, everyone's making a big deal about Venezuela because they're having an election, so I'm going to figure out.
Yeah, and I haven't heard much since the days of Hugo Chavez. What the heck's going on in Venezuela? So, that'll be interesting.
So I'll give you guys the news on that when we come back to the Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Is it really true that there will be peace in the Middle East if we just have a two-state solution? Or are some people instead challenging Israel's right to exist at all? Is it true that Jews have no historical claim to the Holy Land and stole that land from a people called the Palestinians? Bob Siegel's latest book challenges the historical revision of the Israeli-Palestinian situation and shows how Israel's struggle may soon be the struggle of the entire world. The Holocaust Against Israel by Bob Siegel, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
Well, Bob, so some celebrity deaths that happened over the week. I usually do these things every so often. For me personally, here's some people that I knew. From the hip-hop group Juice Crew, DJ Polo passed away. He was also part of Kool G Raps back in the day, too. Juice Crew was a whole hip-hop group that was known to do a lot of... Some rappers would diss New York City, so they would be responsible to do, like, answer tracks is what they call. So they would diss back at, like, Los Angeles or some other cities that were basically tearing down New York City at the time. So DJ Polo was a guy who would help produce those songs. So he passed away. The bassist for a band that I used to listen to back in the day, Spirit Box, Bill Crook, passed away, unfortunately, too. And then lastly, this one actually kind of affects both of us here. The last original member of the Four Tops, Duke Fakir, passed away at the age of 88.
Oh, well, that's the end of an era.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if they'll do the same thing where they kind of use their sons as a way to replace the band, because I saw the Four Tops live in Palm Springs at a casino, and they just basically brought out the Four Tops sons members to help go out there. My favorite part was he was always doing this. Duke was always just snapping his fingers side to side.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, that's quite an iconic look.
Yeah, yeah, but the other three members were busy spinning around doing all these dance moves. I'm like, I know that 80-something-year-old guy will not be able to do those moves, but it's cool to see him on stage and everything.
Yeah.
He got his own solo and everything. It was just really, really, he's a bass guy, and he gets his own solo. That's just impressive.
Great guys.
Absolutely. All right, so let's do local news. First off, Lake Murray. I live right next to Lake Murray. I think you've walked around Lake Murray a couple times.
Not a lot, but I have walked around it.
Yeah, yes. One of my favorite parts of Lake Murray is you'll do the walk. At the very end of the walk, there's a sign, and it says you need to touch the target, otherwise the walk doesn't count at all, so you have to go. Yeah. So, unfortunately, there was a parasitic flatworm there that was found called a trematode, also known as a zombie snail. In 2019, a student of Scripps Institution of Oceanography, who is under the professor Ryan Hetchinger, found a snail that looked out of the ordinary. According to the professor, he said that the student was out at Lake Murray just exploring, and he saw dome-high spired unicorn horn-shaped snails found in the fresh water. And then when they found out that it was a parasitic flatworm and that it was an invasive species, they were trying to make a big call that this needs to get something done around here, because it needs to be known publicly to everybody. And it took a couple years to figure out, or a few years as you could tell, by what kind of species this was, because this was definitely a weird looking species. I'll just show you photos later on after off the air, but I want people to look up trematode, T-R-E-M-A-T-O-D-E. It's a very looking weird
snail.
There's
nothing about this that sounds good.
All right. So apparently the parasite itself, the flatworm, it sets up shop in a snail, takes over the snail's body, and it says, now it's my body to make a parasite baby. They eventually leave that snail and find a fish, and they dig underneath the fish.
This sounds like the premise for the movie Alien.
It does. It does, right? So they find a fish, dig underneath the fish's skin, and then they make a cyst. And then if someone were to eat the infected fish, they would be sick for a few weeks to a whole month. Currently, it's just basically, but that's a very long time to be sick for.
And do they know what is causing this thing to show itself at this time?
No, it just says this is an invasive species, so they're still trying to figure out.
Well, that you know, global warming.
So true, so true. Now, the professor did say, if you cook your fish, you're killing those parasites. If you do eat it raw, freezing it will also kill them. However, he does suggest that if you do fish at Lake Murray currently, you do take precautions knowing that you're up for that situation.
Is PETA going to like it if we kill the parasite? Doesn't that parasite have every Come bit on. As much right to live as the
that
rest of us?
That thing has a family, for goodness sake.
That's right.
If you have a few of them, it's no big deal. They'll die in probably a couple weeks or a month, and they're gone. Lake Murray Park did respond to it, saying that there have been no reports on the fish or people getting sick from this parasite, so they will not be posting signage about the situation till more occurrences arise. I personally find that very irresponsible by the park to have a public statement like that. It needs to wait till people are getting sick in order to post that signage. I personally say you take the precautions and post the
or
signage.
Or just close down the park for a while till they get rid of it.
And get rid of all the fish? I don't know.
Well, or get rid of this particular...
But isn't it hard to find all the fish in Lake Murray that might have that, do
you think? I suppose, yeah.
So my thing is, personally, post the signage. Say, hey, we're taking precautions here in order to make sure this doesn't happen. That's just my opinion on it. Some other local news. Where's Jim Barrier when I need him? Because I need to get my sports corner going.
Oh, here we go.
All right. So the Padres, they're doing fantastic. Unfortunately, as of this recording or live show today, they did lose today to the Baltimore Orioles, but it's okay. They were on a 7-game winning streak and it's fine. And even better, this past Thursday, they threw their second no-hitter ever in their franchise history. I am so beyond happy. The first one was done by our hometown guy, Joe Musgrove. This time it's by Dylan Cease, a guy who we just picked up this year from the New York Yankees. He was one of the best pitchers in
that
league.
That's pretty impressive.
Exactly.
No-hitter.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. And again, second time in our franchise history. I was so upset that out of all the franchises, we were the only one to not have a no-hitter. And we finally did it during the COVID season. And now here we are again doing it here against the Washington Nationals. So congratulations to Dylan Cease and the Padres. You guys are doing excellent. Another local team that's doing excellent. Currently, there's only, as I'm talking right now, there's 53 seconds left in the game. The San Diego Strike Force are winning 49-40. They just intercepted the ball. They are going to the championships for the Indoor Football League. This is, I think, their fifth season, and they've been terrible for the past four seasons. And they finally, I don't know if they recruited correctly, they have a brand new coach or something, but they are finally going to the championships in Las Vegas. I don't know if I'll make it there in time, but you know what? I'm very happy for any local San Diego team to do so incredibly well. Well, we always love that sports spirit here in San Diego. So,
were you planning on going to the game?
I would love to. Yeah. I'm going to ask my wife and see if we could skip Russell's birthday for 1 week. I don't think she's going to take it well.
Just a birthday, honey. Come on. They'll have another birthday next year.
Exactly. It's his first birthday. But you know what? You know,
he's so young, he's not even going to remember his first birthday.
Exactly. No, in all honesty, no. I'll skip it and I'll just watch the highlights later on. So,
okay. Well, yeah. You could go to the game and watch highlights of Russell's birthday. Just have your wife get a camcorder.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad. I don't
hope
she's on
the couch tonight, bucko.
I'm checking the phone. Okay, no, she hasn't texted yet. We're good. Okay. In the meantime, so for international news, here we go. We've been highlighting this all this time. The top of the hour radio show that we have here, we do the news everywhere, and they are making this a big deal, and I'm trying to figure out why. We're talking about the Venezuelan election. It's today. So we talked about the Mexico election and how they voted for their first ever female president. Venezuelan election says that this could lead to a seismic shift in politics around the world. I'm going to read this and you're going to help me figure out this. So Nicolas Maduro, who's 61, is facing off against an opposition that has managed to line up behind a single candidate after years of intra-party divisions and election boycotts that torpedoed their ambitions to topple the ruling party. Now, I'm going to give you the sides of two evil coins here, okay? Bob, what's worse, a socialist or a Democrat? Your choice.
Yeah.
I'll
take C, none of the above, for five, Johnny. I know that the Socialist Party destroyed Venezuela. I know it was once a lush country. But what is the claimed difference of policies between these? Democrats are just socialist light.
Now,
and even that's just on paper. I don't think that's even a reality anymore.
I'll read ahead here. They do have maybe one or two different things. The biggest one, I think, in my opinion, is probably the immigration policy, because Democrats are a lot more strict when it comes to their border policies, I'm going to assume, because they are very strict on the passport situations, how much passports are going to cost. And
well, sure, every country is allowed to be strict with their borders except America.
No, of course not America, yeah. When Biden's president, it's very laid back.
Well, Biden says our border's never been more secure.
What a bunch of malarkey, if you ask me. So, Amundo Gonzalez is representing a coalition of the opposition parties known as the Unitary Democratic Platform after being selected in April as a last-minute stand-in for opposition powerhouse Maria Corina Machado, who was blocked by the Morado-controlled Supreme Tribunal of Justice from running any office for 15 years. The former lawmaker swept opposition's October primary with over 90% of the vote. After she was blocked from joining the presidential race, she chose a college professor as her substitute on the ballot, but the National Electoral Council also barred her from registering. That's when Gonzalez, a political newcomer, was chosen. So we have a very last minute politician that she selected, just like it sounds like, I can't remember his name. Oh, buy it. Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
You want to hear something else that's the same here too? I'm going to go over to the back of the sheet and I'll go back. Maruto's campaign rallies featured lively electronic meringue dancing as well as speeches attacking his opponents. But after he was caught in the heat from leftist allies such as Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva for a comment about a bloodbath should he lose, Maduro recoiled. His son told Spanish newspaper El País that the ruling party would peacefully hand over the presidency if it loses, a rare admission of vulnerability out of step of Maduro's campaign's triumphalist tone. Which, by the way, didn't some other politicians said a bloodbath and the news just took it out of source and said, oh, that's it.
Taken out of context.
Oh, wait, you mentioned that in the monologue, didn't you? Yes. Yeah. These people just are ridiculous when it comes to reporting the news, I swear. But at least that one was legit. He was actually threatening people to be like, we are actually going to cause a riot if I lose this election.
Well, that's what they'll do. They'll take these ones that are really happening and then they'll go ahead and conflate it with other things.
Exactly. So Sunday's ballot will feature 8 other candidates. However, we're just focusing on the two because they are the big two, Maduro and Gonzalez. So after voting, Maduro said that he would recognize the election results and urged all candidates to publicly declare that they would do the same. Now, here's where I think this is why this is an important election here. Venezuela sits at the top of the world's largest proven oil reserves and once boasted Latin America's most advanced economy. But it entered a free fall after Maduro took the helm. Plummeting oil prices, widespread shortages, and hyperinflation soared past 130,000%, led first to social unrest and then mass emigration. Economic sanctions from U.S. seeking to force Maduro from power after his 2018 re-election, which the U.S. and dozens of other countries condemn as illegitimate, only deepened the crisis there. So, even America doesn't want him as president. They want him to kick.
Of course, any crisis over their oil fields wouldn't be that big of a deal if we'd open up our own oil drilling.
Right, again. Right. Even more so, here's something else. Many Venezuelans have promoted that if Gonzalez loses, they have actually promoted the fact, and this is like in their media sense, they will retreat to U.S. legally or illegally. On your own public media sites, you're actually promoting the fact that you're going to come to
America. With the administration that we have, what on earth do they have to worry about? Of course they can say that.
Well, also on fact of that, they have 4 months to do this, so they better get to it.
Do it while the pickings are good.
Yeah. Maduro's pitch to voters this election is one of economic security, which he tried to sell with stories of entrepreneurship and references to a stable currency exchange and lower inflation rates. The International Monetary Fund forecasts the economy will grow by 4% this year, one of the fastest in Latin America, and having shrunk 71% from 2012 to 2020. However, many people inside Venezuela earn $200 a month, which means families struggle to afford essential items. Some work second or third jobs. A basket of staples, for example, costs an estimated $385 in Venezuela currency. That is just insane. I'm glad that we're not there yet, but if the Democrats take over the presidency, I would not be surprised if it goes near that price.
Possibly. As long as they keep the planet safe, our lifestyles don't matter.
I know. Even more so that they actually rejected some of the country's currency, the Bolivar, in exchange that you're using the U.S. dollar because it's a better exchange rate right now. So that's pretty insane right there. Only other thing to mention too is that Gonzalez and Machado focused much of their campaigning on Venezuela's vast hinterland, where the economic activity seen in Caracas in recent years didn't materialize. They promised a government that would create sufficient jobs to attract Venezuelans living abroad to return home and reunite with their families. And the only other thing to mention is right now, the results are out currently, but they haven't been officially processed until 10 p.m. Pacific time, our time tonight. Currently, Gonzalez is beating Maduro in double digits. So we're not going to see an influx of Venezuelans coming over to our country illegally, apparently, right now. But anything could change. We call it election fraud in our country. I wouldn't be surprised if we get election fraud in Venezuela, possibly.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. So is this the most important thing? Not really. I do see that most international countries, besides Mexico, apparently, but most other countries are now swaying more towards the right side now when it comes to politics.
Like, it's because the leftist politics just don't work.
No, of course not. It shows that socialism is not working out.
It never works, and yet they always come and dress it up again, and people vote for it again.
Right,
people
right.
never learn.
So I'm predicting soon, not anytime, maybe later in my lifetime, most international countries will start swaying towards this side of the
political. Well, and even when they like to point to places like Sweden, Sweden has a lot of free market too. It's bits of socialism woven in. It's not a pure socialist communist country. So it's a little bit disingenuous when people point to those kinds of countries.
Absolutely. So right now, we're going to switch over back to America super quick. Vice President currently, Kamala Harris, is right now on her campaign trail. She announced recently that August 7th is when she'll announce a running mate. Right now, currently, the lead in terms of predictability in terms of who she will choose is Mark Kelly. Are you familiar with Mark Kelly?
Well, I know he's from Arizona, and yes. Arizona used to be a red state, and it's now a swing state, so that's a strategic move.
In my opinion, he kind of, no offense when I say this, it may sound rude on the air here, but he might have used his wife a bit with his political run a bit. Do you know about that situation?
I had not followed that, no.
His wife was former Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords.
Oh, yes, assassination attempt.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, and of course, you're saying he exploited that.
I think so, and I don't want to sound rude when I say this.
In politics, that's not a far stretch.
I know, but his policies are just horrendous. Oh, we need to have stronger gun laws and hold gun lobbyists accountable, and they need to support candidates who stand for safer schools and communities. That's a direct quote from him.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody that's willing to go out and murder someone is going to say, oh, I was going to murder them, but gosh, I can't disobey the law and get a gun illegally.
Exactly. Yeah. So
all it does is take guns from law-abiding citizens who might have prevented the tragedy
right.
by jumping in and helping.
But basically, what I'm looking at here with the top 10 vice president candidates, according to the Post columnists that they've listed on here, I'm not surprised by any of the choices. And also, they're just all terrible choices. In second place right now is Andy Beshear. I can't stand that guy. He's the most popular Democratic governor in the country where he's in Kentucky. Josh Shapiro, that guy from Pennsylvania.
He's an interesting one because he's Jewish. And there are people telling her, if you pick a Jewish person, you could end up losing the vote of people from Michigan and some of these people showing solidarity from Hamas. Did you think the day would ever come when Democrats would openly say, don't pick a Jewish vice president?
That's insane.
Now, ironically, she is married to a Jewish man.
Right.
You wouldn't think so the way she's treating Israel right now. Although right, you've heard me say this on the air before, Jews can be their own worst enemy. There are a lot of liberal Jews. There are a lot of Jews still in the Democratic Party. So as a fellow Jew, I can't say that really surprises me or makes much of a hill of beans a difference to me. But it'll be interesting to see what she does with that choice with his Jewish background. And not just Jewish, he's a pro-Zionist Jew.
Right, exactly. So I don't know. Personally, I don't think he's going to make any waves in terms of being the running mate. Number three on the list is kind of far back. But then again, I didn't see J.D. Vance out of nowhere coming to be Trump's running mate, to be fair. If I had to make a list.
He was a contender.
He would have been my honorable mention in the top 10, honestly. But he's a good candidate, to be honest, for a running mate. I want to just quickly point out the other people that were receiving votes, according to the Post columnist. Michael Bennett, Mark Warner, John Fetterman, Wes Moore, Jason Crow, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Chris Murphy, and Chris Coons. One of these things doesn't belong here. I think it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Pick The Rock?
I know.
It's a running.
I know he was saying.
Popular guy, and he's made some good movies, but.
He's made some bad movies, too, at the same time.
Well, but he's even made some bad choices if he's a Democrat.
He is a huge Democrat.
Yeah, and yet he doesn't play those kinds of roles in the movies, isn't that
exactly.
interesting?
Exactly. Yeah.
They always play a more conservative type of guy in the movies.
I was going to say, most Hollywood stars don't really want to put out their political views very much. much in the world. The ones that are outspoken are usually banished from Hollywood or banished from mainstream media.
Well, banished if they're not in lockstep with others in Hollywood.
Exactly.
If they're the George Clooney type and spout a lot of liberal propaganda, then they're hailed as heroes.
I will never, ever in my lifetime, you will never hear me say Vice President Dwayne The Rock Johnson ever in my lifetime. I promise you that. That's ridiculous, and I hope that doesn't happen.
I did like his movie Walking Tall, though.
It is a good,
although
that a good
I liked
movie.
The original version of Walking Tall even better. Did you ever see the original
I
version?
I did see the
60s?
Original. I think it is better, but I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
He did a good job. A I good usually job don't too. Like remakes. That one was not bad.
That wasn't bad, yeah. Well, that ends our night, unfortunately. We already ran out of time.
Brendan,
with all, this
all
stuff,
over so. The world with the news tonight, but as always, very stimulating, and we'll see you all next week.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.